Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing this Tuesday? I sound like you're going to say another day of the week, girl.
I was. I ain't going to even lie to you. Yes, I was. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say Friday.
Oh, girl, you're rushing it. You really rushing it. I wish.
Welcome to Let's Chat, y'all. Listen, we got a great show for you on today. How was your weekend, T?
The weekend was a little challenging, you know, with what's going on surrounding that date. But it was a good weekend, nonetheless. But it seemed like your weekend was fantastic. So tell everybody what went on this weekend.
So listen, child. First of all, I want to thank everybody for all the birthday wishes. Normally, I get everybody and say thank you. Child, just too many of y'all. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it this year. Either that or I'm distracted because, you know, I got a lot of stuff cooking. So I'm coming off Vision and Books, which was Saturday on my birthday. Shout out to Toni Friedman. She was my planner. She helped me pull everything together. We had some fabulous vendors and sponsors. We had some fabulous women in media in there. I had shirts made for the authors. That was the launch of our Book Bougie and Book Connoisseur line. We had photographer there, Kristen Kinder. She came out. Like, it was great. We also, you know, Girls Who Brunch is one of our community assets. And we collected for her brunch pack, which we're still collecting for. The event is not still Saturday. And so if you still want to donate, just hit my inbox and you'll be able to donate underwear, pads, deodorant, anything that these young ladies will need.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
I'm excited. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then we have a lady in a caddy. Now, she wasn't able to attend the event because she has a relative that's having surgery. So she's, you know, taking care of her sister. But they have a golf event mm-hmm. that's getting ready to come up. So I'm really excited mm-hmm. about that. So there's great things coming around. The anthology I'm in, that's getting ready to drop. So we're having a launch party on the 23rd. It's going to be virtual.
Mm-hmm.
Also on the 23rd, I'm going to be doing media hold on, let me get the right name. Uh-huh. I'm all over the place. But I'm doing media for Keisha Nicole, and that's her walk a mile in my sneaker ball. Walk a mile in my shoes sneaker ball. And that's going to be the 23rd mm-hmm. of April. So I'm doing some mm-hmm. things, doing some things.
Now, at least you said the virtual for your anthology is going to, virtual is on the 23rd. How can they join, or are they able to join online?
Yes, it's going to be 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to celebrate the book release. I believe the book is released on ebook first, and the paperback won't be out until May. But if you go on my line, there, on my page, there is a link where you can register. It's also going to be streamed on Facebook, but you will register for the Zoom link and be able to participate the Breaking Point book release virtual launch party.
Okay. So that, for those that may not have the calendar, that's April 23rd. It is a Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Central. I mean, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yes.
7 p.m. Central, right?
5 p.m.
And
7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m.
Okay. And we'll make sure that you can go on Leisha and my page. You'll find that on both of our pages. I'll share that Leisha post. And hope you're able to join her and her co-author.
And I'm excited. So much going on, y'all. So much going on. I got a lot in the next 60 days that's going to be happening. So I'm excited. You know, I'm excited that we have our fabulous guest tonight. Brittany Lachey, she's author, entrepreneur, she's an influencer, she's a mentor. She's going to come in and talk that talk with us before we do our sports segment. But I'm excited. I'm excited. You know, a lot of times we want change. And I don't want to talk about the Will Smith slap, but we're going to talk about the slap. So this is the thing. This is how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
When people only play with you for two reasons, when it comes to your spouse or your significant other, because they don't have respect for you, or they see that you don't have respect for your counterpart. You see what I'm saying? I feel that what Will did as something that he should have done. But I feel that everybody was wrong across the board. Because if Steve Harvey or Dave Chappelle's wife was up front, or D.L. Hughley's wife was up front, he wouldn't have done that joke. One, I feel that everybody has to take responsibility. I feel that Chris Rock did not prepare for the Oscars like he should have. Had he researched and prepared, maybe he would have told some better jokes. I mean, just all the way around. His set was sloppy. And I feel that, you know, a lot of times when it comes down to disrespect, ego is what steps first. You know what I'm saying? So when you feel like somebody is disrespecting you, your ego is like, hold on. You disrespecting her, you disrespecting me, now I got a problem. And then we have that reaction. The reaction really had nothing to do with Jada. It did, but it didn't. It was the fact that Will felt that disrespect. And he reacted on that disrespect, even though he knows now, you know, he knows, you know, I overreacted. But in that moment, when you feel disrespected, You do feel the need to let people know, hold on. And I feel like with everything going on, with all the jabs and punches that he's had to take, I think that was his last straw as far as saying, back up off my wife. But this is the thing. Everybody, you know, they're calling Jada a narcissist. How about society are narcissists? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
We, as a whole, are perpetuating narcissistic behavior in response to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
you see that through all the posts, through all the memes. We're the narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is mm-hmm. narcissistic. Everybody. Now, don't get me mm-hmm. wrong. He giggled. She did give him a look like, oh, you think that's funny? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Any wife's going to do that. Everybody know the wife's the boss. Yeah, I said it. Don't send me no inboxes. Everybody know the wife's the boss. You might giggle,
mm-hmm.
but her whole thing is going to be you thought that was funny, and you're going to be like, I did not think that was funny at all, because that's your wife.
Right.
Vice versa if it was your husband. First of all, wives are a little more protective of their husbands. They will cut your throat. Yep, on national TV. So he better be glad that it was Will and not Jada. I'm just saying. Because women
mm-hmm.
will cut up about their man. And they won't
That's
care.
True.
You know what I'm saying? We'll cut you.
Mm-hmm.
We will slice
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will drag you. Just for messing with our man with a bad joke. You see what I'm saying? Even though she feels like I'm not the type of woman that needs to be protected. We ain't asked you if you needed to be protected. You have a man that wants to protect you. It's so many
mm-hmm.
women in this world that don't have men that will step for them.
Right. Right.
They don't know what that feels like.
A lot of them.
They don't know what it looks
mm-hmm.
like. So when they see it, especially black women, they're like, yes, they all team Will. Listen, step for your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because us as women, if it was on the other foot, we ain't got no time of day. We ain't got no situation. We ain't got show on the air, show off the air. We going to cut a rug. You know what I'm saying? That Jada would have got up, they would have left, and she would have been outside at the red carpet waiting. Waiting. You know what I'm saying? Waiting on him to come out. Because she's pulling up.
3 o'clock after school.
3 o'clock after school. You know what I'm saying? What eye you want me to dot, Chris? The left one or the right one? Because you ain't coming for my husband. But this is how women are. So to have a man that protects you, like, we get in our masculine energy because we have to. You know what I'm saying? When we don't feel protected,
mm-hmm.
when we don't feel like things are handled and taken care of, and we got to make sure that it's together, we step
mm-hmm.
in. That's why they take us as angry black women. No, we're not angry. We are in our masculine energy, but we are there to handle some business. And you can call us angry if you want to, but when a black woman is there to handle business, just duck. Especially if it's about her husband or her kids.
That's
she
true.
Don't cut
I'm
up.
Messy.
Yeah, she's going to cut up, and she's cutting up to let you know, you try them, you try me. Don't try me. I want you to fear me before you fear them. And I think that, you know, Will feels that. And his whole thing is, I need them to fear me as a man before they fear my wife.
Mm-hmm.
But you think if you think about our society, we don't have that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
People fear black women before they fear a black man. We're the most educated.
Mm-hmm.
So we are the strongest in the race. Yes, I said that, men, don't be trying to come for me. We are strong. You strong.
And we're stronger together.
Exactly. I got his back, he got mine. But when we stand face to face with somebody, you ain't got a chance. You ain't got a chance. So when my man is low, or he's at a moment where he's got other stuff going on, I'm there. I got his back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we don't know, you know, how he feels about, you know, because the whole alopecia thing isn't everything. She has an autoimmune disease. And that's a little different. Mm-hmm. It's a little different. That's a change in life and family. That's a total change. It's beyond just alopecia, you losing hair. It's beyond that. And you don't know how his family is feeling about that. You don't know how him and his kids are feeling about the fact that, you know, the person that holds them together is sick.
Mm-hmm.
So a sickness, to me, a sickness when you're married is like an attack on your marriage. And y'all got to battle that together in order to get over it. So I'm mm-hmm. seeing Will.
It's a challenge.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm letting him slide. You know, you was on the Oscars, bro. You was getting the Oscar. But he put his wife first, and I do applaud him for that. He put his wife over and beyond himself.
Mm-hmm.
In his
I'm
mind.
I'm just so tired of
the whole thing. Wait, can we hear about the slide one more time?
It has
and
been heard around the world twice.
And all the comedians got these bad, lazy jokes. I need y'all to get back out there and get right in y'all jokes. Because y'all trying to make these jokes that are not funny. And the crowd not mm-hmm. laughing. That's stupid.
Wow. Well, y'all have heard Leisha with her take on the slap heard around the world. Now y'all heard it. Heard the slap heard here on Let's Chat.
Listen, I'm saying our topic for today is step up for change. If you want to see some change, if you don't want like things the way they are, then you need to step up. You need to step up and be the change that you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm excited.
I'm
excited to hear this step up for change. No problem. We do have an awesome show for you guys tonight. I'm not sure if that's our guest on Holy, but I'm feeling some echo. Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and bring her in. Hi, welcome to Let's Chat.
Hey.
Hello. How are you? I am doing outstanding.
Let me tell y'all about this Brittany right here, Miss Brittany Child. Listen, she a whole vibe. And all I saw was pictures. She is a whole vibe. She had on this yellow. Listen, she had on this yellow with this white little faux fur. Listen. Was given life.
Okay.
I love it.
All right, given life. Oh, wow.
So we want you to tell everybody a little bit about yourself and your literary journey.
I will first say that my name is, of course, Brittany Hall. I am from South Carolina. I have a nonprofit by the name of I Am Avid Foundation. The mentorship is under that called Brittany Lachey. Youth mentorship serving children ages 8 to 17 years old, teaching them lifestyle and entrepreneurship skills. I am an author of three children's books, one adult book. I'm just busy for the Lord.
I love it. Now here on Let's Chat, we always talk about a go moment, and that's when thought mm-hmm. and execution come mm-hmm. together. You know, a lot of times we're mindful about how other people pour into themselves, how they speak on themselves, how they approach life. But when it comes to ourselves, we kind of approach things with lack. We can't do it right now. We got to worry about the kids. We got to worry about this. We got to worry about that. And we can't really move our feet. So that go mm-hmm. moment is when your thoughts and your feet move together. What was that moment mm-hmm. like for you when you decided to say, this is what I'm going to do?
And that's so important.
That is. And, you know, that's what we, when we do things that's important or, you know, things for us, and it helps not only us but others, I think it makes things easy, you know?
It does. It makes the world easier. Yeah. So much easier. Now tell us, what inspired you? Who was your inspiration?
My inspiration was my cousin Tiffany. She's my first cousin. She's a nonprofit owner as well. She's a children book writer. She did all of this with a brain tumor. But the thing that she did was she never gave up, you know. She kept going. And she's a phenomenal mom now. She owns a candle business. Despite all of those obstacles, she still kept going. And I watch her build it all, being a single mother. I watch her do it, you know, living, buying her first home alone. You know, most women like myself, I think I can't buy a house until my husband comes, or I feel like I ain't got no help till a male figure is involved. But one thing I always think about is how I'm inspired by my cousin, because she did all of it before she even got married. She built the enterprise.
Right.
I'm telling you, she's way over six figures, just off, you know, not just off of a candle business, but on a candle business, and, you know, becoming an author, doing a nonprofit, things like that. And she moved, and all of this she did on, you know, she's like self-made. And most of us have bachelor's degrees, doctorate degrees, and you would never believe who God will use just with a candle business, you know. Things like that
That's
is
right.
inspiring, because you take a little bit of something and make them, and you put it before God, and He'll make it a whole lot of something. So I just, you know, just
That's
the
right.
little things like that makes you encouraged. You know, whatever you got, make it work for you. So that's one. My cousin Tiffany Johnson, I thank God for her, because she really, really encourages me. She's really, really, she's still encouraging me day by day, and she don't even know that, because she still battles with her brain tumor. She has like a lazy eye, so often she has to go and get surgery. But I'm telling you, the doctor be like, rest for 2 weeks. Tiffany be 2 days later, it's nobody but her. I'm like, really, girl? Like. And, you know, you can be a harsh cousin, especially when it's your first and only cousin. You be like, so you only use the one eye to really do work. You know, you be cracking jokes. But it's just a motivation to let nothing stop you from doing what you have.
But, you know, that is so true. It's so true, though.
Yes. So
don't let it stop you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like Lisa and I were saying before this, you know, we find that strength within. And as women, we sometimes have to be even stronger than our counterparts, you know? That's just unfortunately how it is.
Right.
Now talk to us about listening audience, how, what that is to you, influencing.
What is it? Influencing?
Right. Like, to be an influencer.
Like what is it to be an influencer? Okay, so to be an influencer, I feel like you be the change that you want to see. So when they say often imitated but never duplicated, you be the best you can be and always do it with a heart of servitude. So to be an influencer, you have to learn how to be a follower before you can be a leader. So to let your voice be heard,
that's powerful.
To let your voice be heard, can you serve? And can you serve with a whole heart? So to be an influencer, you have to first learn how to be a follower and then a leader. You can't always be a leader without being taught. So can you follow? That's what it means to be an influencer to me, you know? So that's just my opinion. You know, that's what I feel like being an influencer. I'm always my mentor. I have a mentor. I have, you know, Ja'Kaylin Carr, graphic designer, is my mentor. And the one thing I wanted to do was try to make a GoFundMe, like a type of thing for kids to start, you know, just in case funeral expenses came up. The biggest pill she ever told me no to was stay focused. Don't do that. And I was like, but this is important. But because I have an ear for a leader who's been there, done that, and staying focused, to bite the bullet myself and learn how to watch, how to listen, how to hush, how to be a good steward over a few things. I have to learn all of these things in order to be an influencer. So that's what I feel like being an influencer is, being able to just watch, being able to serve wholeheartedly. Right. Being able to practice the art of shut up, you know, some of those things work to be an influencer. How can you influence somebody with your mouth always open? I'm just saying. Just bell clapping, huh?
That is so key, though. But you brought up some very salient points, because I love what you said about, in order to lead, you have to follow, because you have to know what it is. First of all, you have to know what it is you're following. And then you have to know that the eye is on you. You know, that eye is on you. And that's where your leadership comes into play. So that was very powerful. In order to lead, you have to follow. I so love that. I think I'm going to hashtag that.
Right.
Talk to us about the no-touch zone.
Okay, so the no-touch zone talks about a boy named Ezekiel who goes to school, and his friend Promise tells him that, you know, he was touched, or she encourages him that she knows what it's like, or he knows what it's like too. So if he's just choosing to not allow people to touch in certain areas, the no-touch zone. So that is what the no touch zone. I really talked. I tell you, this for children normally the ages of 8 and up, and it teaches them don't look that way and don't touch that way. And if somebody touched that way, what to do? That's what that book is about.
And what inspired you to write this book?
That book came from my own personal experiences of being molested at a younger age. And being afraid to tell my parents, got to school, told a guidance counselor, and that's how I was able to let my parents know, because I couldn't stop bleeding. So, but, you know, sometimes things like that happen when you have to tell a friend. And if my friend came and told me, do I really keep it a secret, or do I get help for my friend and myself too, you know? So a lot of the time, secrets is good to keep. But a lot of childhood trauma is because they're being kept and not being helped. So, you know, that's why even with that, I find it like these are things that have still yet not been talked about. They love to talk about it as shoving it under the family's rug and not saying too much about it, because some of it happens in your own family home. Unfortunately, mine is by my grandfather. So, you know, a lot of it happens in your home, and you the family want to keep a name, you know, and think that, you know. So my biggest mission and goal is to tell a child, I don't care who it is, you get help, because when you're 29 years old and you trying to figure out why you still can't trust a man, it's because it started at home. You know what I'm saying? And people gotta realize this. With Brittany Lachey Youth Mentorship, we are now offering a certified counselor for reasons such as this right here. And really, you know, grants and things, because this is stuff that does not, I don't know why they think because you know Jesus, you don't need a counselor, or because my child got to be quiet, they don't need a counselor. But I'm here to tell you, if Brittany Lachey find out anything, she's referring it to her counselor so that baby can be healed and made whole so that she can live again. And living don't mean living. It just could mean simply you're existing, you know? So saying, that's why I wrote the No Touch Zone.
Well, Brenda, you know, you touched on something when you explained to us about the reason for you writing this book. You know, I was on Clubhouse earlier this morning with an author, Author T. Styles, and she said, you know, some authors write what a part of what an author writes is themselves in their book, you know, and I think what you touched on, like you said, is a taboo subject. And especially coming out of the pandemic that we've been in, especially the first year and a half, 2 years,
a lot of things to this nature were occurring. Unfortunately, there was no escape it because we were in quote-unquote lockdown. You know, so it's so important that when someone is able to pick up a book such as yours and read, you never know that that book may be giving them the strength that they need for that little push, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That is very true.
And what? Absolutely. And what has been your feedback from those that have read and reviewed your book? What is the feedback before we wrap up?
I've sold a good bit of those books. I believe that God is now allowing me to get feedback. You know, some things take a little while because you have to learn how to get feedback. And I didn't know how. When I published that book, I didn't make it a big deal. I have three other books, and that book alone still rises above all of them. Everybody will know about the No Touch Zone. I'm preparing for tour for Daddy Winter's Promise coming home, and people ask about the No Touch Zone. So, you know, I'm saying, okay. So I'm learning how to get feedback from it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another reference to what you said before, you have to follow instead of before you can lead. You know, you have to navigate this platform that the No Touch Zone has made for you, and you're learning from it. And you're not just you learning from it, but we're all learning from it.
Mhm. Yes.
Well, before we let you go, Brittany, can you tell us and our listening audience what's next for Miss Brittany?
What's next for Ms. Brittany is the Brittany Lachey Youth Leadership Summit and the Daddy With His Promise Coming Home book tour. So I have those things coming up and a few other little mini projects, but most definitely the biggest two projects is the tour that's coming with my book tour and then also the Youth Summit here in Orangeburg.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Brittany, we so appreciate you joining Leisha and I here on Let's Chat. Leisha had to step away, but we want you to know that this is your home now. You are welcome back here anytime. If there's anything on your that you want to share, you know, you just let Leisha and I know, and we'll make this platform happen. You know, this is your home.
Amazing.
But before you go, can you shout out all your social media and the book tour that you have and anywhere that our listening audience can pick up your books?
You say you're listening. Y'all can find my books on Amazon and then my website as well, www.brittanylachey.com. And that's all I would like to tell each and everyone. Thank you for your listening ears today.
You're very welcome. And if they want to get information about the tour, is that on your website?
Yes, it'll be listed there as well.
Okay, awesome. Well, Brittany, once again, thank you so much for joining Leisha and I here on Let's Chat. And make sure you come back and visit us again soon.
All right. Y'all have a great day.
Okay, you too. Thanks for joining us. So we hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Ms. Brittany L. Holman. Her book, The No Touch Zone, is available on Amazon. And if you missed any of our interview with her, no problem. Just head over or anywhere you get your podcast, and just check for Let's Chat with Miss Tony and Leisha, and you can get caught up on all things Miss Brittany. Now, shortly after this, Jazz and I are going to talk the Let's Chat sports segment of Let's Chat. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back talking that talk on all things sports. Stay with us.
She took a pill with it. She like the hell with it. She buy her own drink. She don't need a pressure on me. I see you're afraid to love me now. With all the things believed, it's made your past so ugly now. We can't be friends. Give me your hand, your love again. Just show me how this doesn't end. I'm here again. You want forever.
We go through emotions till the energy's up. I give you all my time till I'm not giving enough. If I could take my heart away like all my feelings was up, it would be easy, but I really can't be giving this up. We go through the motions till the energy's up. I give you all my time till I'm not giving enough. If I could take my heart away like all my feelings was up, it's never easy when it's up, so I'm not giving you up.
To the mother greatest.
It's that time again, y'all. It is time for Love Chat Sports with Miss Tony, Mr. Jazz. Hey, Jazz, how you doing this evening?
Yo, what's happening? What's good? What's good with you? I ain't talked to you in a couple of weeks. What you got for me? What you got for the people today?
Oh, man, there's so much going on in the sports world. Once again, you're tuned in to the Let's Chat Sports section of Let's Chat with Miss Tony and Lisa and Mr. Jazz. And if you missed any of our previous interview this evening, no worries. Just head over to blogtalk.com or anywhere you get your podcast and download it. It'll be done when Jazz and I are finished with this sports segment. Jazz,
yeah.
Open us up, buddy. Talk to us. What's going on? You know how we start our show.
All right. I got you. All right, well, there was absolutely this is how important, this is how big WrestleMania is. WrestleMania is mm-hmm. so big that there was mm-hmm. no boxing, no UFC, very little combat sports on TV this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It was WrestleMania weekend. I ain't even mad at them, because
right.
why broadcast something that nobody's probably going to watch? No disrespect. But WrestleMania is that big. It's that big. And between
right.
that, and remember, we had the basketball. We had the NCAA championship won by Kansas
mm-hmm.
last night, Monday night. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but here's the reason why I state all of that, people. From now till July, there are
mm-hmm.
so many boxing events. High-profile
wow.
names and high-profile matches that are happening
mm-hmm.
starting this weekend. UFC bananas, boxing bananas. So it's summertime, it's hot. So I'm just saying prepare yourself, people, because starting this week, there are four fights this weekend, people, on Saturday. Mm-hmm. There are four fights. Triple G is fighting this weekend.
Wow.
Triple G is fighting this weekend. Erickson Lube is fighting this weekend. Ryan mm-hmm. Garcia is fighting this weekend. Those three fights. And UFC 273 is on this weekend. The rematch between Alistair Sterling and Peter Yan, and the headliner is Alex Ovalowski versus the Korean Zombie, dude.
Wow.
Fire. Fire. That's all I can say. Fire. The whole night. Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Get your
mm-hmm.
get your snacks, get your drinks, get your food, sit on the couch, and enjoy this shit, dude. It's going to be that incredible the whole night. So that's what I got for you. That's what I'm dropping today.
Wow, but you know, Jazz, you know, this past weekend was big as far as WrestleMania. I think it was held in Dallas, Texas. So what was your takeaway from this past weekend? Because it was a pretty big weekend.
Yo,
I
didn't really see it. I had some difficulties this week. I didn't see it, but you tell the people what you thought about it. Because I was out of the loop. I ain't even going to lie to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm not a big wrestling fan, but I know the build-up, so I'm not even going to attempt to say that I know anything about wrestling. But I just
yes.
know the build-up has been happening since last week. And I knew
yes.
that one of the people that I listened to as far as sports was actually there, you know, talking that
wow.
talk about wrestling. But I said, well, Jazz will explain it to us. But unfortunately,
well, I will say this.
We won't be
I
able
will say
to.
This. No. I will say this. Now, I didn't see it live. I didn't see it, but
okay.
I read some articles. I was surprised that Roman Reigns won the belt from Brock Lesnar.
Really?
I was surprised by that. I got to admit. I thought, Brock's big, especially in
mm-hmm.
wrestling circles. So the fact that Roman Reigns is so over right now that
mm-hmm.
you have Brock drop the championship to him. And second thing is, I am really surprised that they let Charlotte Flair win against Ronda Rousey by pin,
mm-hmm.
not by submission. I mean, not by a disqualification. She pinned her. That was big also
right.
because Ronda Rousey again. You know, these are some of the people that they promoted, and they're part-timers.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that was those are the two biggest things for me. Those the fact that Charlotte Flair won against Ronda Rousey, and the fact that Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar. That was, and the fact
mm-hmm.
that, and the third thing for me was the fact that anybody who follows wrestling, Cody Rhodes used to be part of AEW, who was a direct competitor of WWE. The fact that Cody
mm-hmm.
Rhodes debuted at WrestleMania against Seth Rollins, big deal. Big deal.
Mm.
He lost.
Wow.
But the fact that he debuted at WrestleMania, he left AEW, which he helped create, by the way, and then
mm-hmm.
goes back to WWE for the – I'm just saying it's for the money because nobody pays like WWE. When they want you, they got the dollars.
You said that
they got
before.
The dollars to make that happen. Yeah, they got the
mm-hmm.
dollars to make that happen. So Cody and his wife left AEW – and went back to WWE. So those are my three takes.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's good to know that, you know, from now until July, like you said, it's going to be
yeah.
big time wrestling. I'm not wrestling, but boxing and MMA. So y'all know Jazz is
oh,
going to
yeah,
be up
I,
on it. He's going to report
I'm
back.
I'm going to keep in the loop.
He
it's going to be, it's
excited.
A big deal. It's a big deal. Ryan Garcia is coming off an injury. He had a hand injury. He's coming off an injury. His first fight in probably a year and some change. Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Triple G fighting for three of the four middleweight belts And Triple G is like 39, dude. Like, how much longer can he fight?
Wow.
But he's never going to get the Canelo rematch. That's not happening, people. So please don't call in talking about Canelo. Canelo, he's bigger than that now. He's on the bigger things, people. Triple G is small right now.
But it seems like, Jazz, we're always talking about Triple G during this season. So it's like, you know, he's making an impact. He's going down. Well, is he going down as a what is, what can we say when he leaves the ring? He's gonna leave behind. We're always talking about Triple G every season. Did you find that?
I mean, Triple G is what he is. He's a good fighter. I mean, even say you could even put him, depending on how you rank him, you can even say he's a great fighter. But the thing about Triple G is he's older now, and his season, his window of opportunity has pretty much closed now. As far as getting that big money pay-per-view, that his pay-per-view shot, the only chance he got to be back on pay-per-view, because now he fights on the Zone, which is the fight on Saturday, is going to be on the Zone. The only chance he has is to maybe challenge the Jamal Charlo. I think he's 160. You could fight.
Okay.
You could possibly fight him at 160 and get a pay-per-view payday out of that. That's about his only shot.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay.
That's his only shot at, because he can't go 68. He's too small to be 68. Andrade, for people who follow boxing, Demetrius Andrade is about to go up to 168. Triple G can't go 168. So for Triple G, his pay per view moment will, if it's not against Charlo, he will not have one. Simple.
Wow. Okay. So once again, make sure you guys are tuned in this weekend, like Jess is sharing with us, because you know he'll be talking about it next Tuesday for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear the excitement.
Oh, boy, will I? Oh, my God. Oh, I can't wait, dude. I'm excited already. It's only Tuesday. Oh, my God. I can't wait. Oh, my God.
Long couple of days to get there, Jazz.
Man, look, I'm going to buy some crabs. I'm going to buy me a bottle of red wine. And I'm looking at the joint. It's going like that, people.
Yeah.
It's like that, people.
Yeah, he's getting ready. He's gearing up. He's going to be a long couple of days, but he's gearing up.
Getting ready.
Awesome.
Getting ready. Might be a
two bottle.
The night going to be so good, it might be a two bottle night. I might do two. Like, because I ain't going nowhere.
So you might as well enjoy it, right?
You might as well enjoy it. I'll I'll wake up in the morning like, damn, that was a hell of a night. That's what I'm talking about, people.
Why not? Live in the moment, Jazz. Live in the moment.
Yes. Yes.
No problem. That's awesome. Well, Jazz, let's pivot over to the NBA, because as those that are following the NBA, we know we're wrapping up our season. We only have a couple more games to play before the play-in.
Yes.
First of all, Jazz, how do you like this play-in situation? I think this is the second year that they're doing the play-in, if I'm not mistaken. How do you like that?
You know what? I'm this is how much I like it. But I'm going to go back to about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago. I think it was 3 weeks ago. We were talking, and I asked you, the most dangerous team in the buy-in on the East. Now I'm going to ask you again, because now the reason why I'm bringing this up, people, is because Kyrie Irving can now play in all the games. Changes everything. You said if Kyrie can play, they're the most dangerous team. Now, that has come to fruition. So what do I think about the play-in? Let's be clear, people. It gives the teams that are 9-10. Last year, the Grizzlies was a 9.
and they made it to the playoffs and made noise and made Ja Morant a star in those playoffs. The play-in is one of the best things that the NBA – it's one of the smartest things the NBA has done, because now if you are the ninth seed and the tenth seed, there's something to play for. If you are the Spurs – look, the Spurs are a tenth seed in the West. They got something to play for.
I'm going to tell you, I love it too, because, you know, it takes away the team's desire to tank. You know, we always talk about tanking here on Let's Chat.
Yeah,
so that takes that element. It takes that element out. But since we spoke, Jazz, and we talked about Kyrie and the Brooklyn Nets and the games that he was eligible to play at the time that we spoke about it, those things have changed. So now he's able to play at home games for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes.
But he's still not able to play in Toronto. He's still not able to play on the West Coast. I want to say it's either the Warriors or the Clippers. It's one of those arenas. But I know it's a West Coast team, so it all depends on where they fall in. But he can play for home games. But with that being said, Jazz, his home games play has been less than ideal. You know, he's playing more games, but they're losing. They have been on this loser streak because he's not used to playing as many games as he's playing. So his stamina is not up for that day-to-day game, and I think that's having a toll on him until he gets his full feet underneath him. What's your take on that?
I mean, first of all, here's my first thing. The one player that could make a difference is not playing, and that's Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons.
So let's start there. Because Kyrie has to carry the workload. Because, and again, the Nets, one thing I can say, between him, Durant, when they're on. But when the jump shot is off, then, you know, it's off. I mean, it's just that simple. Right now the jump shot is off. They're not falling. Seth Curry is a great player. He's a very good. He's a very good offensive player.
Perimeter player.
Because on defense they be picking on him. They pick on him on defense. So between that, I think that they'll be fine. I think that it's just everybody has to understand how to play with Kyrie on a daily basis, and not just on the weekend. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you got seven games and he only there for three, now he's there for all seven. So you got to understand how to share the ball, how to run the offense, stuff like that. But like I said, I think that the main thing that they're missing is the guy who everybody wants to see play, who's not playing. And that's Ben Simmons.
But you know, Jazz, that's a very valid point. But you know, Jazz, I'm not sure if those outside of New York are aware of it, but Kyrie and KD have only played a handful of games together in the 2 years that they've been on the same team. You know, I don't even know if it's double digits or low double digits that they've actually played together. And on top of that, when Harden was with the Brooklyn Nets, that's even fewer games that the three of them played. So it's all a matter of adjustments, getting the ball to the strong player, you know. So it's not like they've had this longevity of playing with each other. They are still getting to know how to play with the two of them.
Yeah.
And like you said, Ben Simmons is the missing piece, and who knows when he may be returning. You know, we haven't had a definitive answer on when he's returning, whether it's going to be in the playoffs or what, but the Brooklyn Nets are at a precarious position now. I think they're number 10. So the ideal situation for them would have been to play one and done and not have to play two in order to get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta,
excuse me, you gotta also remember their intent, their entrenched intent, because who's number 11?
The number 11 is not even number 11.
Oh, that
is
the
Lakers. Oh, no, that's on the West Coast. I'm sorry.
Who's number 11 on the East? It's
I know the Knicks.
So the Knicks is 6 games behind. So they don't have to worry about the Knicks. So they're entrenched in number 10.
No, they don't have to.
So
right.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about the Knicks. Knicks trash. So I mean, at this point,
all they have to do is the extra.
What do you mean? I'm just saying, they don't have to worry about the 11th seeded team. So all I'm saying is they have time to, you know, get it together. Excuse me. You have Steve. You know, Steve Nash has to understand how to play them guys. Get some kind of rotation together in these last couple games, so that when it is playing time, that they are hitting on all cylinders at the right time. And then, because I don't believe that Ben Simmons is going to play. I don't. I don't believe that he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't believe so. But what do you think? Do you think that it's possible that he can play if they have the play-in scenario? Since they're in the play-in scenario, is it possible that he plays?
I don't know. I doubt very seriously if he'll be in the play-in part of it, but because he's not game ready. He hasn't been able to play to get game ready, and who knows when the last time it's been over a year since he actually played a game. You know?
Yes.
So he has that against him, and he's going through this back issue. So there's a lot of variables as far as Ben Simmons, when he's able to confidently return to the court.
Okay, so since we're on the NBA, let me ask you a question. Okay, right now, I ask you again, the 8th seed, the 7th seed is the Cavs, 8th seed is the Hawks, 9th seed is the Hornets, and the 10th seed is the Nets. Who is the most dangerous team out of those four? I'm going to ask you again.
Out of those four, Cleveland has veered off. You know, they started off strong. They've had a pretty consistently strong season thus far, but their play has kind of waned a little bit in these last couple of games, these last couple of weeks. The Hawks, you never know. It depends on what type of night Trae Young is having, you know, his game plans. So you really can't tell, because the games that I expect them to win, they don't. And the same thing when I would expect them to lose, they win. So you really can't tell with the Hawks. It's just a matter of what type of game Trae Young is having. Now, with the Charlotte Hornets, their game has improved so much since the acquisition of, what's his name? I'm drawing a blank.
I know you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about. You know, their,
I know you're talking
they,
about.
They,
yeah.
Their games have improved. And on the flip side, the Brooklyn Nets, who we just don't know who's going to show up. So out of the four that you gave me, I would say the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Wow. Okay.
I always go for the not so popular, and 9 times out of 10,
that's
the other back.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. I'm going to let you have that. I don't have a problem with that. They have two all-stars. I mean, they mm-hmm. are playing really good ball right now. Now, what can I they see are. Them upsetting? Can I see them possibly beating the Heat or the Celtics or the Bucks? No, I don't. But I give them a fighting chance against the Philly. I give them a fighting chance against the Bulls. I'm surprised mm-hmm. that the Raptors are 6 seed, honestly. They came out earlier this year. They weren't doing so well. And the fact that they now right. are rounded as a 6 seed, I was surprised by that. That was my biggest surprise. I'm mm-hmm. like, wow, Raptors are 6 seed? So Nurse mm-hmm. is doing a thing up there without Lowry, you know, because the wheels kind of fell off at the beginning of the year.
Right.
But they you know, they're 6 seed. So I can't, you know, I can't be mad at Nurse. He is doing his thing.
He is. And with the staff that he has. Now, of those four teams, the Cavs, the Hawks, the Hornets, and the Nets, what's your take? I'm going with the Cavs.
Look, I still believe in the Nets. I still think that the Nets, I believe that if you're talking about one game, I got to go with Kyrie and Durant. I think that None of those other teams. I mean, Cavs, they have a big man that might be able to guard Durant. But
mm-hmm.
the Hornets, I don't believe that the Hornets or the Hawks have a guy on their team that could stop Durant when Durant decides it's time. If Kyrie, if the rest of the team lets him be the Slim Reaper, I don't think that mm-hmm. I think that none of them can stop him.
But yes, I'm gonna challenge that because Kevin Durant just dropped 55 points when they played against the Atlanta, and they lost.
I know.
In this tenth position, they have to play two games to get in. Whereas you don't. That's just not. I see them having it. To be honest, I see them exiting the playoff, the postseason.
Wow.
That's how. I just don't see them advancing with them having to play two games to get in because. Like I said, you don't know what's going to happen. If this man can drop 55 points against the Hawks and still lose a consecutive loss, I don't know if I want to bet my money on that.
I give you that.
That's my opinion.
You make a very valid point. I'm hoping that the championship pedigree that Durant brings over and – you know, the championship pedigree that Kyrie brings over is enough to will him to win.
We'll see. Now let's move over to the West Coast. Let's talk about this West Coast because that's the play-in for that coast is the Pelicans, the Spurs,
mm-hmm.
the Lakers is looking on the outside. The Clippers and the Timberwolves.
Okay.
We can honestly and confidently say that the Lakers are truly done because they already
say. I can never bet against them, even though LeBron is not playing. As long as he's not playing, then yes, they will lose. Even though Anthony Davis came back. If LeBron doesn't play, I give you that. But I just feel like if LeBron decides he wants to play and the league will make it so. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I think they're out. I think they're out. Definitely.
The key point that you raised is whether LeBron is playing. Now, you know. I have always said here on Let's Chat Sports and on our previous sports show, mm-hmm. you can't depend on Anthony Davis because he is always hurt. I've always been.
Well,
I've
he came back. You know, he came back. You know, you're right. I mean, yeah,
yes,
absolutely correct.
Yes. He has been in the league for 10 years.
Yes.
He has not had one full year of play. I'm sorry.
Well, hold on. I disagree.
10 years, not one full year of play.
The year they won the championship, Corona, he didn't miss a game. They also had a break in the middle of the season, but he didn't miss a game.
Okay.
So
thank you. And they were playing in a bubble.
Officially, that one year, he did not miss a game.
But there's an asterisk next to that year. Next to that year.
Officially, he did not miss a game that year.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I'll give you that. But that asterisk is still there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We can continue on. You're absolutely right. You're right. I give you that. I just wanted to make that point. Yes, so we can agree that Anthony Davis is not the most reliable, he's not the most durable player in the league.
Durable, right. With that being said, Jazz, you know, let's talk about these Pelicans. They have a 34-44 record.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like them. CJ is making a difference. I mean, they play a lot of pick and roll with CJ and Ingram. They got a big man in what's the old boy name? Not Vujovic. Forget the cat name.
Mm-hmm.
Play it in OKC. It's not Adams.
Okay.
That's not Adams. It's not Vujovic. The other one. But anyway, so, yeah, they got him. They got the big man in the middle. I like him. Do I think that they'll make a run?
Is it Jackson Hayes?
Hayes gets a lot of run. So, yeah, he's the younger of the two centers because they got an older cat, too.
Okay.
I'm looking at his face. Okay. I just can't remember. But, okay, but anyway. So, I mean, but I like the Pelicans. I like the way they're set up. CJ gives them a lot more options. You know, Zion would definitely maybe making a more of a difference, but no Zion, and they still in the play-in. It's a good year for them. Real talk.
But speaking of Zion, guys, I don't know if you've heard. But today his stepfather came out and made a statement that Zion will be playing this season. Believe it or not.
Season's over.
He just made that a couple of hours ago. Exactly.
Season's over.
He said that he feels strongly that Zion is going to be playing this season. The season is pretty much over. I don't know what he was garnering as far as making that statement, but that statement was made nonetheless today, this afternoon, actually. I don't know. And Zion has been seen traveling with the team these last week or so, you know, whereas he had not been doing anything with the team all season.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden, he's traveling with the team these last couple of games, and he's coming back this season. I don't see the two of them meshing up.
Well, I think that it's a different team.
I think that
was one of those, you know, you talk about it. Yeah, and maybe he plays. I don't think he gets a lot of run. I mean, the team is not the team has changed. When you make the trade for CJ,
it definitely has.
The team has changed, and I know that maybe it's one of those things where maybe it's a way for his stepfather to say, "Hey, don't forget we're still here. You know, don't overlook us.
Right.
We're coming back.
Right.
Don't overlook us because." You made the play-in, so that means that your team is gelling without my stepson. So let me put my hand up and say, hey, don't forget, we're still here. And we're still part of the team. Now, how long will he be part of the team? I don't know. I mean, if I was New Orleans, I would definitely have some conversation this offseason about where do we go? Can we withstand another injury?
Right.
And where do we go?
Exactly.
You know, where do we go as a team? you know, because,
right,
you know, now this that is Brandon Ingram's team. That's not Zion's team.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Can he
now
come in and be quiet and let Ingram do his thing?
Mm-hmm.
What was he?
With that being said, Jazz, you know, I feel that since the acquisition of CJ, he's become visible, you know, and I think with the acquisition of CJ, it was like, okay, you got him, but don't forget, like you said, I'm still here. You know, you didn't see or hear anything about Zion until CJ got on the team. And CJ and Ingram, you know, they're making it their team. They got to where they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's not like he can come in and say, save the day, Zion saves the day. That's not happening. Because if you're not in that locker room, and I'm just talking from a sports mom, if you're not in that locker room on a day-to-day basis, your say doesn't hold much weight.
Well,
whether
I always
you're the
say,
leader or not.
I always say, as a sports fan, I always say,
mm-hmm.
and I've said this about football, baseball, basketball, it doesn't matter. If you're not
mm-hmm.
playing, then you're of no help to me.
Exactly.
If you're not playing, then it doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter what you – I mean, I hate to say it, but –
But it's true.
Excuse me, that's the real of it all. If you're not on the court, then what are you
mm-hmm.
how are you helping me?
That's right.
You're
absolutely right.
You're a distraction. That's what you are. You're
exactly.
a distraction.
I totally agree. I totally agree with that. And who's gonna listen on top of that? You know, you're not out there leaving
your
sweat, blood and tears on that floor. I am.
Well, the media is going to continue to poke and prod to get you to say something to become a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you're not, I mean, it's just like Portland. Portland year is over. You don't hear nothing about Portland. Simmons, the point guard, is having a great year so far.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see Lillard, you know, traveling with the team, talking about, I'm going to be back. No, Lillard at the house.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Don't want to be a distraction.
Right.
Let them guys do their thing. So
mm-hmm.
that's how I feel about it. You know, but
mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, this is the question for you. Does Paul George returning push the Clippers up a notch or two?
I haven't given that much thought, but where are they? Let me see where they are in their standings. The Clippers are number...
Yeah, they're the eighth seed.
They're the eighth seed. Okay.
They're eighth seed. So
okay.
They're in the play-in. Yeah.
They're locked. They're officially locked in the eighth place.
Yes, they're in the play-in.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so,
if the Clippers... The Clippers would be playing the winner of the Pelicans and the Spurs, if I'm right, correct? The play-in.
See, I'm not sure. I'm not sure
because,
how they do the play-in
because
it's two games, but
yeah,
I'm not sure if nine
the
plays ten
two.
And seven plays eight, or if you
no,
know, if seven plays
nine.
Ten and eight plays nine, or how does that work?
The ninth and tenth seed play each other, right?
Okay.
And then the winner of that game plays. Wait a minute. Because how does it work? We're going to get this right, guys.
I'm not sure.
The
7, I'm not
8,
sure.
9, and 10 are the play-ins, right? The 7, 8,
yes.
9, and 10 are the play-ins. Okay.
Yes.
So
I just figured, seven plays ten, eight plays nine, and then the winner of those two play each other, eight plays nine, and then the winner of that game plays the top seed, and the other one plays the two seed.
I got it.
Okay,
I
how does it work?
Nine and ten I think I got it. Just 9 and 10 play each other. The winner of the 9 and 10 seed plays the 8th seed. Right? And the winner of that seed plays the 7th seed. Does that make sense? Because you only need one seed from the... The 7th seed only has to play one game, because that's the whole point of the Nets problem. The 7th seed only has to play one game, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to look that up. So they're going to play the winner of... Hold up, Jazz. Now I'm confused.
Okay, do me a favor.
Let me see how...
When did the playoffs start?
I'm going to look it up.
When did the play-in start?
I think this...
Next week?
The weekend. This weekend.
Okay, then
weekend.
Here's what I need you to do, because I don't have a computer. I need you. We need to know. I hate to put you on the spot, but we need to know how that works, because I don't know. I have no idea. I'm a fan. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not Stephen A. I don't have four assistants looking up stats for me, so I don't know how it works.
Okay, I'm on it, Dad. I'm on it. How
Thank you, baby,
because
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay. Now, all of a sudden, my computer wants to freeze. But hold on 1 second.
We good. We good.
We're
so while we're freezing, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If the Lakers do not make the play, does this tarnish LeBron's legacy?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to ask you, I'm sure you heard the interview with Magic.
No, I didn't.
It happened. I think it was yesterday. You did? Oh, my God, yes.
Mm-mm. No, I didn't.
He had an interview yesterday, and I want to say it was Mike Greenberg from ESPN.
Okay.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, no doubt.
In the interview, he talks extensively about LeBron James and his role and where the team is now.
Okay.
He talked about how the guy that went to the Bulls, I'm just drawing a...
Oh, Caruso.
He used to play for... Right.
Caruso.
DeMar DeRozan.
Oh, DeRozan.
He wanted to
he came for the Spurs.
Right.
I mean, yeah, DeRozan came for the Spurs. Okay.
He wanted to play for the Lakers. Now, DeRozan's agent spoke to Magic. Somebody in DeRozan's camp spoke to Magic, and they wanted to make it happen. But LeBron and his crew had already started conversations with Westbrook. Russell Westbrook.
Ooh,
and that's the route that they took. I mean, you got to hear this, and you got to look for this interview, Jazz. He laid it on the table that LeBron chose Westbrook over DeMar DeRozan, and he shoulders the blame of where the Lakers are today. He has a hand in the blame of why the Lakers are in the state that they are today. This was just yesterday. This interview either happened yesterday, definitely not today, but it was yesterday. He was very candid, Jazz. Very candid. So it's interesting that you say that LeBron's legacy is linked to this season with the Lakers.
Well, not hearing the interview, I guess my thought, if I would have heard that, and thank you for sharing that with us who didn't hear it, that's a really big tidbit. So for me, I guess my thing is, I'm not sure if I'm DeRozan, if I want to come to the Lakers, because again, what we talk about, there's only one alpha.
Hard to play. Right, LeBron James.
LeBron's the alpha. That's why you end up with Westbrook, because DeRozan, if DeRozan comes over, then you have to then have less of a load. And if you're LeBron, You need guys who are going to how can I put it?
who are going to understand that you're the alpha, and they're okay with that.
Mm-hmm. And go along with
DeRozan, DeRozan's not that kind of guy.
Mm-mm.
Not that kind of guy.
He considers himself an alpha.
Well, he's with Chicago. LaVine tried to be the alpha, could not handle mm-hmm. being the alpha, and DeRozan is now the alpha on that team.
Right.
It's DeRozan's team.
He's having a phenomenal year, Jazz. He's having a phenomenal year. Oh, my goodness.
But DeRozan could not have the kind of year he's having if he would have went to the Lakers. I understand he's from Los Angeles and da-da-da-da-da-da. I think that if I'm Magic, Magic had to know that whatever conversations he was having, I don't know if DeRozan's agent, I don't know if I'm DeRozan if I'm going to the Lakers, no disrespect. He ended
this
up where
he should
have
been. This was before the season started. No, this was before the season started.
Okay.
This was before he went to the Bulls. But I got the information about the play-in, Jazz.
Okay.
And I know we
what
only
we
have
got?
A couple more minutes, and we haven't even touched the NFL. Okay.
Oh, God.
This is how the games will work.
Okay.
Game one, the number 7 team in the standing by winning percentage will host the number 8 team.
Okay.
Okay. The number 9 team will host the number 10 team with the winner moving on to game 3. And the loser of the 9 and 10 is eliminated. And that's why I say that the Nets are going to be an early exit. That's my reasoning for that. And then it goes on to say,
So seven plays eight, nine plays ten, and whoever loses the 9 and 10 goes home.
Right.
So then the winner of the 9-10 then plays the winner of the 7-8?
Let me say, the loser of the 7 and 8 versus matchup will host the winner of the 9.
Whoever wins
the 9 and 10 now has to play the loser of
the 7-8.
The 7 and 8. Because I know one of them only has to play one game. There's only one game. The winner of the 7 and 8.
So then let me ask you this. So if the winner of the 7-8, do they play the 1 seed or the 2 seed?
Okay, so let's see. This means the teams with the 7th highest and the 8th highest winning percentages will have 2 opportunities to win 1 game of the playoffs. While the teams in the 9th and 10th, okay. I think the winner of the 7 and 8 either plays the 1 or the 2 seed. I would say the 2.
I would say they probably play the 2 seed.
Yeah, that's what I would say, because then that puts the onus on the lower seed, because the lower seed plays the number 1 seed.
Which kind of makes sense, and that makes sense because last year they made such a big deal about Minnesota, about the Grizzlies, Memphis Grizzlies winning, because they won.
Right.
The 9-10 game, then they beat the AFC, then they pushed the 1 seed to the limit, which was the Suns.
Right.
I think that was the Suns. And that's how Ja became such a big fan favorite.
Exactly. Because they put them on the map.
But I know we got a couple minutes, so. You want to transition to the NFL, or you want to just do it next week?
No,
we'll be back next week.
Finish your point, and we can finish that next week, because there's a lot to talk about with the NFL.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to say that with that being said, I think that you're right. I mean, the odds are the Nets will go out. The odds are – let me ask you, what do you think about – before we finish, since you have made a great point about the Magic Johnson interview. So I have 2 questions for you. The first question is, what is your viewpoint about Magic saying that DeRozan was contemplating coming and didn't because of LeBron and his team.
I think that just kind of brings forth I think it just kind of makes it clear as to why, because DeMar DeRozan, if you have been following his games, he's been kind of playing with a chip on the shoulder. You know, it's like mm-hmm. he is showing those that didn't believe in him that he got that game. You know,
yes.
and I've seen it in the games that I've seen him play. You know, he's breaking records left and right. He is doing a phenomenal run. And I can mm-hmm. see that playing to the point that, okay, y'all chose Westbrook, but look what I could do. You know, you chose Westbrook. Look at the state of your team, but look where I'm at. So I think it gives credence as to Magic making that point. And for Magic to come out, call names, and point those fingers is real.
Mhm. Mhm. Okay, so my second question is,
I think that LeBron, and just to wrap it up, I think LeBron mm-hmm. does play a role into the state of the Lakers today. He has to bear some type of responsibility because his hand is all in the mix of that. I'm sorry to say.
Absolutely.
You know, I respect him as a player, but he's not a GM. So when you look at all the moves and the movements that he's garnered, he has to bear some responsibility for that.
So I'll end it on this. Does it tarnish his legacy? And I don't know about the playing thing, but what I'm saying is legacy is the whole thing, not just the playing part. It's the whole thing.
Mm.
So, you know, the fact that he brought in Anthony Davis after Anthony Davis signed with Clutch, the fact that you bring in Carmelo Anthony, who signed with Clutch, Westbrook probably is influenced by Clutch. So these are all the people that you're bringing in are guys that your team represents. That has to be part of the conversation, shouldn't it?
It should, but those down the road, and you bring up an interesting point, Jazz, because, like you said, it's not just his legacy on the court. It's what goes on around who is on the court with him at any given moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a team sport. It's a team sport.
Right.
So you should
scrutinize
the team.
As a player, I think therein lies the problem of when players want, insist on being players, GM, management, drafters. I think therein lies the problem. When you bring in all these players and your strong point is not necessarily knowing what the team really needs. I mean, you know what they need to a point, Jazz, but that's what those positions in management, that's why those positions are in management, to make those decisions, and not necessarily the people on the floor making those decisions, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make it make
it
sense.
It does.
I'm trying to make sure I'm making the right point.
It makes sense. No, it makes perfect sense.
They do play a role on the product that's on the court, because look at what he's put together. He has Anthony Davis. He has West. They traded away the core of their team to get Anthony Davis.
Yes.
So much money is tied up in contracts with Russell Westbrook. He has, if not the most expensive contract in the league. And where are they?
Yes.
On the outside looking in. So I think that he bears responsibility for that. You know, they gave up a ton of players, and every one of those players, Jazz, if you watch their game, are proving a point.
Well, you gave up half of the bench for Anthony Davis. He gave up the rest of it for Russell Westbrook.
But Westbrook, Exactly. And what's the kid with the blonde hair from the Lakers? He's now playing for Washington. Why am I drawing a blank? Oh my goodness. He has been on a rant. So they're all look what all you gave up.
I got a better name for you. Remember. Remember they had a guy named Jordan Clarkson who won Sixth Man of the Year a couple years ago. Remember, he was on the Lakers.
They gave up big time, Jazz.
They've been giving up players. And since LeBron been there, they've been giving up players. Left and right.
And his hand players is in the mix of that. Exactly. So,
but
it remains to be seen how
but one last thing. But one last question for you before we end the show, and I end it on this. But was all of that worth the championship that you won? All those moves made that happen.
You mean from one championship they won in L.A.?
Absolutely.
That was a championship that was won in the bubble, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. But without the Anthony Davis trade, remember, the Anthony Davis trade was the catalyst for that. Was all of these trades, you know, letting Clarkson go, trading Ingram and assorted picks and da-da-da, but you won a championship.
And Morris
was it
and
worth
all
it?
Those guys.
Yeah, was it worth it?
That's a good question. That's a good one, Jazz. That's a good one.
But I'll give you a week to think about that. How about we'll leave it on that.
Yeah, let's marinate on that. We got to
marinate on
that. That's a good one. That's a good one. But this, Jazz, has been a great show. I always love talking sports with you. I try to hang with you. I try to bring something to the table.
You bring so much to the table. I try to hang with you because you be on it. You know, I'll look. You in places that I can't be. So you definitely bring a lot to the table. Trust me.
I try. Sometimes I tell myself, I hope I'm holding my weight with Jazz.
No, you hanging in. You doing well. I got it. Oh my God, you doing so well. Oh yeah. I'm trying to keep up with you. Yeah, for real.
Hey, it's a team sport. It's you and I, Jazz. You and I. Let's chat.
Word up,
Tony and Jazz.
Absolutely.
Take us out, Jazz.
All right, y'all have been listening to Let's Chat Sports, dude. It's been incredible. I want you guys to continue to tune in next Tuesday on the cliffhanger. Write it down. I need your opinion on what's going on with that question. And I need you to continue to tune in. Remember, fire the next 2-3 months when it comes to sports. Major League Baseball is about to start. NBA playoffs are going to be here soon. Women's softball. Mm-hmm. We didn't even talk about the five Chinese swimmers, the five Chinese divers that retired today, from the Olympic team, having their team retired. And all of them won gold medals at the Olympics this past, one that just passed. So continue to tune in and send us your feedback. We love you guys. I can't wait till next week, baby.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jazz. Once again, you're listening to Celeste Cat Sports with Ms. Tony and Mr. Jazz. We are here every Tuesday talking that talk and all things sports. Man, we have so much to share with you guys. It's so much. We got to carry it over into next week, like Jazz said.
Word.
Marinate on that question Jazz left us with the cliffhanger. We're going to open the show up next week with it. So make sure
yes,
you join
we have
us.
A response. Yes, I need a response for that.
And thank you, everyone, for the listen backs. Everyone, our playbacks have been off the charts, so we thank you guys for listening to our show, even when we're not on. And make sure you download the podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, let's chat with Ms. Tony and Alicia. You'll check our you'll check out our sports show, our talk show, anything with Let's Chat is on our podcast. So thank you so much for joining us. Jazz and I will be back next week. Enjoy your week.
Word.
Stay safe.
All right. Hey, and remember, Corona's still out there, people. Be careful.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Yeah. If she wants to be my bitch, then she gotta help me get rich. If she wants to be my hoe, she gotta bring in a lot of dough. We going steak to steak. We going go.
Look.
Listen up, I'm finna put you on some cocaine. Bitch, you on the right track, but the wrong train. Pippin ain't dead, that's the code name. And my rim's so big, I'm in both lanes. Before she met me, she ain't no shit. Now she OT, making dough quick. 215, East Seller, it's a road trip. She don't give me no lip, she know I'm so pimp. The way you suck dick, I can tell you was made for this. You do this so good that you should get paid for this. One thing for sure, you gon' walk down this road and go get what you can. You run me my show. I be coming through the text last